For more than 10 days, the number of probable SARS cases in the United States has hovered around 40, with no deaths. But with the virus still spreading in China, there is debate over what to do if more cases show up here. Voluntary quarantines and isolation have succeeded in Canada. Mandatory quarantines are in effect in China and other countries. Recently, New York City isolated a foreign tourist in a hospital for 10 days with suspected SARS. He went home feeling fine. But in many states, it's unclear whether authorities would have the ability to force a person into quarantine or isolation, as Madge Kaplan of member station WGBH reports.
There's widespread consensus that the U.S. is far more prepared to handle SARS compared to a few years ago. That's because of all the preparations for bioterrorism. One key improvement, better communication and coordination between local, state, and federal health officials. But the use of quarantines for disease outbreaks in the 21st century is largely unexplored territory. Lawrence Gostin heads the Center on Law and Public Health at Georgetown University. He ticks off just some of the many unanswered questions.
Where would we quarantine people? How could we ensure that we did it in a way that they didn't infect each other? Or if we had a home quarantine, whether they infected their family or friends, how would we feed or clothe them and provide them with health care and means of communication?
Gostin says the federal right to quarantine rests on an outmoded 1878 law. So when President Bush added SARS to the nation's list of quarantinable communicable diseases earlier this month, Gostin says it was an important but largely symbolic step.
Because it doesn't say what the criteria are for quarantine. It doesn't have any provisions for procedural due process and constitutional rights for people who are quarantined.
Quarantine is typically voluntary. The ability to force people who won't go along varies widely from state to state. In recent years, the courts have decided that individual rights must be protected when strong measures are enacted to protect public health. At the federal level, quarantine authority mostly applies to people entering the U.S. or crossing state lines. It's at the state and local level that public health officials are most likely to be frontline decision makers when outbreaks occur. But Gostin claims here, too, people would be surprised to learn how outdated the laws are.
I think the public would be quite frightened to realize that many of our legal responses to SARS or 21st century epidemics are based upon 19th and early 20th century legislation.
For example, Massachusetts quarantine law dates back to 1797, one of the first. Over the centuries, it's been used to battle smallpox, cholera, yellow fever, and then TB. Dr. Alfred D. Maria, the state's director of communicable diseases, says here and elsewhere, large-scale quarantines ended in the 1950s once vaccines were available to control outbreaks of polio, measles, and diphtheria. So health officials have no recent experience. There are also just too many laws on the books, says Di Maria.
And they're all over the place. There are school laws, sanitation laws, disease control laws, and there are even animal disease control laws. I mean, we're looking at across the entire body of the Massachusetts General Laws to try to make everything consistent and modernize it.
Some 22 states have already updated their quarantine laws, including New York. Greater attention is now paid to people's civil liberties and daily needs. California, which has the highest number of probable and suspect cases of SARS, claims it doesn't need new legislation and can work with what's on the books. Dr. Kevin Riley, Deputy Director for Prevention at the state's health department, says he's hopeful quarantines can be avoided. But if they can't, educating the public will be critical.
Typically, a quarantine is not going to be highly successful unless you have a community who understands the rationale and is on board with why a quarantine is being imposed.
The experience so far with SARS in Canada suggests that most people will cooperate with a voluntary quarantine. However, sometimes people who've been exposed to a disease do not comply. It's then that public health officials face the difficult decision to invoke forced confinement or even arrest. For NPR News, I'm Madge Kaplan in Boston.